Right now, though, it's time for Talking Books, and we are joined now by someone who has been patiently waiting for the last few minutes, Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. How are you?
I was not caller three.
You were not caller
three. I was
three.
Sitting here trying to call you from across the studio here.
I don't know if I'm pretty much fine with that, because I don't know if you would have been eligible to win if you had been caller three sitting in the studio at the time.
I did win some Bee Gees tickets.
You did, yeah.
2 years ago,
yes.
I called you. I think I had just left the studio.
Yeah,
I was in my car. And I called, and I actually gave those to a staff member of mine.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't go, but I do love the Bee Gees, and
yes.
I finally remember being caller three for Bee Gees tickets.
That was fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, we kept doing that call, and that was a lot of fun. We did that. Yeah, I think you technically are eligible, because you are in no way employed by the station, so if you wanted to be caller number three.
Just sitting here?
Just sitting there.
I'm going to do it.
It would have been weird, but it would have been, I think it would have been on the up and up, but it would have been a little strange. Okay, so how are you?
I'm doing well.
Happy International Women's Day.
Yes. I forgot to wear my red. There's a lot of red out there. You're
yes,
not
there
wearing
is.
Red
I'm
either.
I'm also
We're
not.
Kind of
yeah,
well,
I was wearing this shirt yesterday, so.
Okay. I'm a little hoarse still, I sound a little bleh.
You sound fine. You sound great.
Yeah, I was starting to go under the weather last week, and now I'm coming up out above the weather, out of the weather.
Re-emerging into
re-emerging
the weather. Yes.
Like a spring blossom.
I am above the weather. I am flying above the clouds.
Yes. I'm doing well. How are you, Aaron Keck?
I'm good. I'm really good. So there was a bake sale out in front of the library today, right? Wasn't there?
There was.
Yes.
Was there?
There were Chapel Hill Carver students.
I mean, I was totally at work. I was at work today.
Okay.
No, I was in some epic meetings today.
This
is one of those days I didn't venture out much.
Gotcha.
And I parked down by the staff lot, so if they were up there, I don't know. But let me just tell you, the kids who do the bake sales at the library, they're mm-hmm. smart kids. There's a lot of traffic. I think they make some money there.
Yeah. Well, this was because school was out today for the Women's Day walkout. So there were some, I think they were just from Chapel Hill Carver City Schools. It might have been Chapel Hill High School specifically, but they set up booths with like bake sales all over town. They had a couple downtown. They had one in front of the library during the lunch hour, and they were selling baked goods to raise money for like women-focused causes. So Compass Center and OCRCC.
I totally missed that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I wasn't
over by the library. I was going to ask you how I went there. But
right.
Anyway, we're joined now by Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library.
If people out in listener land want to sell Girl Scout cookies or do a bake sale, there's a process. You can't just show up.
No.
So if they did today, they were breaking the law.
Oh,
no, but
okay.
If folks, like oftentimes Girl Scouts will sell cookies or the high school band does the bake sale, it's a good spot. There's a lot of traffic there.
Yeah.
And yes, there is a process to use that space.
Was it
to
busier
do
today because of school being out?
It was busy.
Yeah.
It's always busy. I think this is different, like when there's
You're
a snow day.
You're the wrong person
day.
To ask, because you were in meetings all
know,
day
I
long.
I was in meetings all day
How
long.
How busy were those meetings?
I still got a meeting
school,
tonight,
though.
So I got to go
God.
Back to another meeting. It's one of those days.
Godspeed.
But we were busy today. We're like always busy.
All right. So it is International Women's Day.
Yes,
so
it is.
With that in mind, our topic for today is women. And
yes,
I took
it is.
This in the direction of books by female authors. I don't know what you did with this, but... You didn't come with any books at all, did you?
I've been in meetings all day. No, my mind went all kinds of places. I've
okay,
got so many
great.
Books to talk
all
about.
All right, good.
You don't even know how many books I've got to talk about.
All right.
There
I have a
go.
Guess for how many
Should
books
Should I go
do.
First?
Yes, please
okay,
do.
Okay, I'll go first.
All right, do it.
The first, so I generally talk about books for adults on this show. I do have some kids, and today I'm going to start by talking about some kids' books.
Okay.
So my younger one, Miller, really loves to read biographies. He loves to read nonfiction about famous people. Loves it. So we recently discovered this great series by an author named Brad Meltzer. So Brad Meltzer is also known for writing books for adults. He writes thrillers, political thrillers, page-turners. And a few years ago, he started writing this book series called I Am. And I am Abraham Lincoln. I am Martin Luther King. I am Albert Einstein. And they are the most wonderful books. I'd say they're for kids age like he's nine, probably like 5 or 6 up till like 10-ish. They're this great size, so they're smaller than a picture book, but they're not like a 50-page book. And they're illustrated, like cartoony graphic novel biographies of famous people.
Nice.
They are wonderful books. And what I love about them is they sort of pull out a character trait of each person, and they talk about how that is the thing that made them special and defined their career and their work.
That's awesome.
They're such great books. So I want to talk about that series, but also the women that he does are awesome.
Who does he do?
So the one that we just picked up, and my younger son has curly red hair, so he loves I Am Lucille Ball.
Nice.
They're lighthearted. I think they're very good with the facts of it. They're just wonderfully done. And in that one, she talks about her character trait was the ability to make anybody laugh.
Okay.
She could make anything funny. And it talks about this, like, there's her as a kid, there's her in her career. The one about Amelia Earhart is she's fearless. So it's these wonderful, again, they are illustrated, they're cartoony, graphic novel-y. They talk about that famous person as a child and then through their career.
Right.
He does Jane Goodall. That's a great one. We own a lot of these. I'm forgetting all the women. There's another one he does, but they're really, really wonderful books. So there's
who
men
writes
too,
them?
But what's that?
What's the author's
Brad
name?
Brad Meltzer.
Brad Meltzer. Okay, that reminds me of something that is a little bit disturbingly similar, which is a series that actually I don't think you can find it anymore. It's called Value Tales. That was written in, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page now, like mostly the 70s into the 80s by Spencer Johnson and Ann Donegan Johnson.
Spencer Johnson did Who Moved My Cheese, right? Wasn't he that guy?
Maybe.
Okay.
Now I'm clicking on him. No. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right?
Who Moved My Cheese?
Moved
it's
my
that
cheese?
Guy. That
yeah.
same guy. Yeah. That guy. Before he wrote Who Moved, I did not realize that. Cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, before he did Who Moved My Cheese, he wrote this like long series of, they're called Value Tales, and it's exactly how you described it. It's a series of books, like biographical studies about some famous person through childhood up through, and it's all the value of blank. So Lucille Ball is the value of laughter. They do
right.
a Lucille Ball laughter book. In this case, I'm looking at it. The Amelia Earhart book was the value of optimism.
Hmm.
They did some really great ones. They did Elizabeth Fry, who was like a famous... I'm getting her confused with Nellie Bly. She was a prison reformer in the 1800s, and hers was the value of kindness. Nellie Bly was the journalist who like went into an insane asylum and pretended to be a prisoner. Hers was the value of fairness. They had Jane Addams. I'm looking at the list now. Margaret Mead. Like
yeah.
I learned about all of these
right.
people because I'm like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old learning about these people.
That's what kids can do
yeah.
with these books now. I mean, so the great thing about these is they're so well done. The
yes.
illustrations are so engaging and they're funny.
Wait, in the series you're talking about, do they also have imaginary friends?
I don't
believe
so.
In the Spencer Johnson series, they also had imaginary friends.
No,
as well.
I don't think there was imaginary friends,
yeah.
unless the person actually had them. But they also do, I'm just checking here, they do Rosa Parks. We own that one. We
nice.
Don't have Sacagawea. We need to pick up that one.
Yeah.
Helen Keller, the Helen Keller
one. Oh, we had
a
Helen Keller
fabulous.
Book.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
And then for the men, they do some great ones. They do, as I said, Einstein. They do Jim Henson,
yep.
Jackie Robinson. But if you are looking for great biographies for young readers, pulling out some really interesting women. This is such a great series. And
that's
I believe
really cool.
at the library we probably own them all. They're so good, we've been buying them.
I hope the Johnsons are getting royalties on this. Because I'm not gonna say copyright infringement, but these are two real similar series that we're talking about. All right.
We'll
yeah.
see.
They're good.
Anyways, these
anyway,
are
they're
fabulous.
Both really good. Yeah, so check them out. All right, so that's suggestion number one. I wanted to go with a children's book author. And I was thinking about like great children's books, and I was like, oh, Beverly Cleary, Judy Blume. We've talked about Super Fudge. We've talked about the Ramona Quimby books. I got to go back to Ellen Raskin and the Westing Game, though, because not only is it still one of my 10 favorite books of all time, period, like adult, children, YA books, whatever, it's also a great award-winning novel by a female author with a great female protagonist as well in Turtle
Wexler.
Turtle Wexler.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But I told you.
She was great.
I don't like that book.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like that book.
Yeah, you're
wrong. So The Westing Game, but that... I am wrong. Many people have told me that.
Yeah.
That's a book that so many people like. From what folks tell me, if you reread it as a grown up, it's still good.
Oh yeah, big time. Okay. Yeah, I still own it. I go back and read it every so often. It's phenomenal.
So is it my turn now?
It's your turn.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was then thinking when we decided that our topic was women. For some reason, one of the first things that came into my mind was plucky female heroines of fiction.
Okay.
So I'm going to recommend two plucky female heroines of fiction, both written by women. One is a book series called Maisie Dobbs. These are awesome, awesome books. I think there's, I'm not sure how many there are in this series now, probably more than a dozen. The author is Jacqueline Winspear. And Maisie Dobbs, these are set in World War I, or just after World War I in London. Maisie was a nurse during the war. She returns to London after the war, and she pretty quickly finds herself falling into situations, and she ends up becoming a detective, and she opens up her own agency.
Awesome.
So it's wonderful history. The setting is great. Some of these have won all of the big mystery awards for best mystery novel and this or that. She's a wonderful character, and she's one of those characters. Yes, there's some romance and all of this, but she stands on her own. She's a fully formed, plucky female heroine who goes out and does good things and solves mysteries in World War I, post-World War I era London.
Nice.
They are such great books. And then the other plucky female heroine of fiction that I want to mention is a more recent series. I think there's a third one coming out soon, but the first one is called Girl Waits with Gun. And it's got a great cover. It's this great sort of Art Deco cover by Amy Stewart. So Amy Stewart wrote The Drunken Botanist, which was a nonfiction book.
I'm loving these titles.
I know, right? And in the course of researching The Drunken Botanist, she came across a newspaper article from 1914 about a gentleman named Henry Kaufman who ran his car into a buggy being driven by three women, the Kopp sisters, Constance, Norma, and Florette Kopp. So she finds this newspaper clipping. And something about it just piqued her interest. So she starts digging, and then she ended up finding out that the Kopp sisters were famous and infamous, and one of them went on, Constance, who was like 6 feet tall. She was literally a formidable character, but also figuratively, she was one of the first female deputy sheriffs.
Awesome.
So it's this wonderful 1920s historical fiction based in fact, but of course it takes a great woman author to fully flesh out this character and make a great novel.
So her name is Kopp.
Right? See there?
Wasn't expecting that twist.
And the second one is Lady Kopp Makes Trouble. And then I think there's a third one coming out soon, but they're really, really good. So
awesome.
Maisie Dobbs and The Kopp Sisters, Girl Waits with Gun, and everything that follows after it, if you like plucky female heroines.
Awesome. There have been a lot of, like, all of the great, YA series that have come out, like the really popular ones, like a lot of great female...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
...protagonists. Like, start with Hermione Granger, but then Katniss and... What's her name from Divergent?
Yeah, Divergent. Yeah. Lots of them.
Yep. Cool. So, the next one I'm going to recommend is actually going with the female author, not about women at all. Although this is a great history book that focuses on the role of women during the Civil War a lot more than I think another historian might. I literally just finished this book today after it had been sitting on my bookshelf for a year plus. It's Team of Rivals by Doris Kearns Goodwin, which is about Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, and his cabinet and the way that they interacted with each other. But there's also the role of wives and daughters and how active they were in politics, in in government, in society. So Mary Lincoln, Kate Chase, Frances Seward, and their whole family, like really significant roles played by women in the Civil War, even though it's the men in the cabinet that get all of the historical credit, the role of women is important as well.
Is there a cough button? I'm sorry. I was totally listening to you, but I was going to cough, and then I'm like,
The cough button is to do what you did, which is to
lean around while you're talking.
Yeah. Now, if I see you doing that, I could turn down your mic, but no.
You have the cough button. You're just refusing to share the cough button.
I can just do this.
Okay.
And it's
great.
Team of Rivals is a great book. Yep.
It's a great book.
Cool.
Okay, so I have one more that came to mind that I want to recommend. Well, first of all, let me back this up. We mentioned one of these recently, but talking about women and wearing red, I would say the first book that came to mind was The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood, because of course it's a woman writer.
Yep.
It's this dystopian vision of the future, and the handmaidens wear red.
Yes.
And then I recently talked about a book that's sort of an homage to that called... Hillary Jordan's second book called something. I talked about it recently. Hang on.
While you're doing that, let me talk about The Handmaid's Tale. Because my favorite part about The Handmaid's Tale is her name, which is Offred.
Right.
But it's also, it's such a great name for that character to have, because it's Offred, which is, her name. It's the reference to the person that she's with, the man that she's with. It's also Offred, just misspelled, and it's also Offred. So, removing the red garment that symbolizes her servitude, it's such an awesome triple meaning to her name.
It is.
Did I kill enough time on that?
All of that is correct.
You did. You got it.
So
that's my favorite part about The Handmaid's Tale.
Hillary Jordan's book is called When She Woke. And it is it's sort of a homage to The Handmaid's Tale. It's also a nod to The Scarlet Letter.
Okay.
And the opening line is, when she woke, she was red.
Ooh.
So this is a dystopian vision of the future, and people who are convicted of crimes, their skin is dyed a certain color. They're chromed, and she is turned red for a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all about what happens when she wakes up and her skin is literally red. So those are both two great books that I thought of, but that's also a segue into one of the first people that came to mind that I should talk about if we're talking about women writers is... I'm not going to say her name yet, because first of all, when we think about science fiction, we often think about pasty, nerdy white guys writing science fiction, right?
But there are pasty, nerdy white girls who write science fiction,
too. That's true.
Yes.
But there are also a broad, diverse group of people that write science fiction. And one of my favorites she passed away, Octavia Butler.
Oh, yeah.
Who was a black woman writer who wrote science fiction in the 70s. I think she passed away. I don't think she's still living, is she? Anyways, Octavia Butler, she won the Hugo, she won the Nebula. She passed away in 2006. Writes wonderful science fiction. Any number of stories. One of my favorites to recommend. And so there really weren't many women writing science fiction, then much less a black woman. One of my favorites of hers is a book called Kindred, where that's a time travel story where the main character is a black woman in California in the 70s who gets transported back to the antebellum South. And when she lands back there, she sees a drowning boy who she saves from the river. And of course, it turns out to be the person who ended up basically raping her grandmother, who was a slave. And if she didn't save him, she would not have been born 100 years later. So it's this wonderful sort of moral tale or moral choices and all of this. But then she also wrote The Parable of the Sower. She wrote a great book called Lilith's Brood. She wrote this really wonderful science fiction. So if you're looking for interesting science fiction that may have not been on your radar before, Octavia Butler is awesome.
Awesome. All right. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.